Come on, preacher.
Amen. Well, you can hear me on that, can't you?
Amen.
We're close today. I'll tell you what, I told my wife we ate breakfast this morning. They had a nice breakfast at the motel. Thank you for the nice room. And I said, I don't usually eat on before I preach. There's a reason. Now, if I'd have known I was this close to you, I definitely wouldn't have eaten before I came here this morning. But, amen. How many of you believe that song? It's the wonder that God loved me.
Amen.
I mean, the only greater than that is the wonder that God loved Brother Stoltz. Is that right? Amen. Amen. That was good. I'm not talented enough to play an instrument. I could play the jug, but that's about it. And, but thank you for that. That's really something. That's talent. I appreciate that. And I don't have any of it, but I know it when I see it. I appreciate it very much. Well, I want to thank you, Grace Baptist Church, for your loving support to me and my family. You can find Acts chapter 3. We'll be there in just a moment. Acts chapter 3, page 1152 in my Bible, if that helps you find it in yours. And so I want to thank you for your loving support to me and my family. You're really of a great joy to know that there's folks out there and folks that care and are concerned about the little guy. I think of Brother Hiles as he went to college and he had his first church and he got up to in Dr. Bruce's class and he said, Dr. Bruce, I'm glad to announce to the class that I'm the pastor of a little church out, and Dr. Bruce, he would call it Bruceology. It was theology class, but Bruceology class. He got on his case. He said, sit down, Mr. Hiles. Can you imagine telling Brother Hiles, sit down? Sit down, Mr. Hiles. And he did, and all the testimonies came in. And at the end, he let Brother Hiles speak, and he said, why did you make me sit down, Dr. Bruce? And he said, there are no little churches. And that stayed with Brother Hiles all those years. And that made him appreciate churches like ours, and I appreciated that. And that's why your pastor appreciates our church. He's so much like Brother Hiles. I love your pastor more than I can tell you. But I want to say this. I will keep to my time. But perhaps more than what I have to say to you is I want to thank you. I appreciate this church. This church is a big deal. You're important.
Amen.
And what you're doing is God's work.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate your love for our Lord. And this is a church that does that.
Yes, sir.
If you've never been to another church, you may not realize what a church you have here. And I'm excited about these plans that are behind me on the wall. I pray for you every day of my life, many times a day, often. And many of you by name, whom I've got to know and over these years. I appreciate your friendship to my dear friend. Your pastor needs you and he loves you. No pastor loves like your pastor does. You're very honored to have him.
That's right.
And you should know that.
Amen.
You may not know that, but just trust me on that. You should know that.
Yes, sir.
You have a great friend in my friend. I appreciate your grace in action every time we see any of you. Appreciate your labor of love in our church basement to keep our church intact.
Amen.
And if those of you who are down there, it's half the miracles that you came back out. But it's still holding, praise God. And it needs to keep holding just a little while longer. We've often said if the termites just hold hands, we'll be all right. And so we're trusting in those things. But appreciate your help with our in the hot sun to lay the block at our personal home. And we're still out there doing that without you. Where have you been? But anyway, we appreciate every time we go out there, we think about you and appreciate you so much. Most of all, your prayers. If you think about us, pray for us. And I remember sitting on a church bus and many, many times in college, and there was oftentimes a little sticker there that Brother Williams put there. And he said, pray for the Williams family. I've never forgot that. And when I sit somewhere, I stop and I thank someone. I pray for you. If I know what car you drive, if I see that car somewhere, I pray for you. And I take those reminders from the Lord and pray for you. I appreciate your prayers for us. Appreciate your attendance today, knowing your preacher would be gone. And now, here's the trick. He's smart. He left his wife here to watch out, make sure you all hear. And I didn't do that. So it's free game back home. But anyway, I did leave my son there. You pray for him. And appreciate the room, the gifts, and the fellowship. It means so very much. And let me say this about your pastor. He's a true man of God.
Amen.
You have a true leader here.
And
he's an unsung hero. He has assisted the greatest fundamentalist I ever knew, and that was the late great Dr. Jack Hiles. And he, you know, we always say no one deserves the grace of God. No, none of us deserve salvation. We deserve hell if we got what we deserved, of course. But I'll tell you, if anybody's earned the right to pastor, your pastor has. And he's been a principled Christian all the years I've known him, a very gracious man, a soul winner, a loving friend of all friends, a very generous man, a thoughtful person, and a trusting host today. And hopefully the last one I have on here is the Mighty Hunter. And he loves to send me pictures from his deer stand. And I hate him every time he does it. I am not in the deer stand when I get these photos, so... How many are with me on that? Amen. He sends those to you. Just rub that in. Go ahead. Okay. Well, it's never hidden that I'm a Marine. And there are no former Marines. There are no ex-Marines, just former Marines. Which some of us are on duty all the time. But if you're a Marine today here, you'll forgive the term soldier. Marines are very particular about their terminology. And we would not call ourselves soldier. But indeed, this what I have little presentation here. This is to get my attention and get me excited. I don't care if you get excited or not about it. But this is entitled, "I Am a Soldier in the Army of My God." I am a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Prayer and faith and the Word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I'm a volunteer in this army, and I am enlisted for eternity. I will be translated in this army at the rapture or die in this army. But I will not get out. I will not sell out. I will not be talked out. I will not be pushed out.
Amen.
I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I'm there. If he needs me in Sunday school to teach children, work with the youth, watch the nursery, help adults, or just sit and learn, he can use me because I'm there. I'm a soldier. I'm not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I'm a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I'm a soldier. I am not a wimp. I am in place. Saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I don't need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I'm committed.
That's good.
I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around.
Amen.
I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into his army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I still come out ahead.
That's right.
I will win. My God has and will continue to supply all of my need.
Amen.
I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell can't handle me. I'm a soldier. Even death can't destroy me.
Amen.
When my commander calls me from this battlefield, he will promote me to captain and then allow me to rule with him. I'm a soldier in the army, and I'm marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I'm a soldier, marching heaven bound. And here I stand.
That's good.
Amen. Amen. I love that. Let's look at Acts chapter 3, if you would, please. And thank my dear wife for driving up with me. She's my greatest cheerleader. She's the greatest Christian that I know. I appreciate her so very much. She's here with me and my lovely daughters, Bridget and Jacqueline. And my daughter, Katie's at college today at Commonwealth, listening to Pastor Fugit. My son is at home holding the fort. And he graduated from Bible college, came back to serve with Dad and Mom. And that's a great blessing.
Yes.
Stand with me, please, if you would, out of respect for the Word of God, as we'll read verse 1 through 8. I don't know if you normally how you normally read here responsively or what, but if you want to just read with me, I'll read verses 1 through 8, and if you want to mind the punctuation, I'll take my time. You can read all the verses with me. Ready? Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, use us now. These dear folks deserve their pastor. They can't have him today, but they can have all of me as I give myself to them. Help me. Lord, bless the work back home, please, and the preacher as he preaches, and the dear ones as they come. But Lord, here while we're here, use us, meet with us. We've asked you to. We trust that you're here. We thank you that you are. May I be a blessing. If there's anyone here today that does not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, how they've missed out over these years of their life. May today be the day they find you, they accept you, they trust in you as their Savior. Make it so. Bless, I pray, the preaching. May it be a help and a blessing to someone today. In Christ's name I ask it. Amen. Be seated, please. This story is a wonderful story in the book of Acts. Acts is the pattern book for the New Testament church, and I love to preach from it. It's always exciting to preach from the book of Acts. But here's a wonderful story. It's a miracle. I love the message behind the miracle, and that's what I'll speak to you today. As I thought about the title, I didn't give this any fancy title. It's more speaking my heart to you. I don't have much to give you, but such as I have, give I thee today. I'll give you my heart, and I'll give you this thought of this truth. I love the truth of this passage and this miracle. Peter and James, it's an amazing story. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they're coming in. I know it says the ninth hour. You can figure that out later, but I'm telling you the truth. About 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they're having church. And every day of the week, can you imagine? Your preacher lets you off easy, only on Sundays and Wednesdays, you know. But every day of the week, they went in, and it was prayer time. And I love prayer time, and I love the fact that your church has a men's prayer meeting. You have men. That's fantastic. All you ladies say, glory to God. And so that's exciting. But they came into the church, and there was a man there that was lame from birth. And the story, of course, is that the men of God came up to him, and he was expecting to receive some alms or a gift or some kind of money. That was no doubt how he paid his bills and how he fed himself. And it wasn't a bad thing. They never rebuked him for asking money from them. But they said, silver and gold, we don't have any of that. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And Peter lifted him up by the right arm, and he stood up, and he immediately felt strength come to his legs. It was a miracle. He who could not walk all of his years, he was lame. If you've ever met anybody like that, there's a lady, a dear lady on my bus route, and she brings her little granddaughter to the bus, and she comes in a wheelchair, and neither of her legs have any strength to them at all. They just kind of flop like pieces of meat, to make it very plain. And my heart's burdened when I see that. But yet she has this big smile on her face, and she's there for her granddaughter. And I admire that, and I admire her strength and tenacity to keep going. But I think of her, I think of this man here, and, no ability to stand, but he did that day. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave him strength to stand. Now, this is not an allegory, not a symbolic, typological story, but a real occurrence one day in the lives of two spirit-filled men who spoke words while they're spirit-filled, recorded here by God's Holy Spirit the exact way that he wanted us to understand them. Now, that's very important for us to understand because the original of this book here is in heaven. We have it exactly the way God wanted us to see it in our language. Let's examine ourselves this morning in the light of this story. This man was lame from his mother's womb, and so were we. So were we. Now you think about it, you can think ahead all you want in this message, because you'll just get excited before I get there, and you'll be ready when we all get there together. But we were lame from our mother's womb. Psalm 51:5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That doesn't mean I was born illegitimately or something like that. It's just speaking of our spiritual condition.
That's right.
We were born in sin.
Yes, sir.
In sin did my mother conceive me. John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already.
That's right.
Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Amen.
We too come to the church, and we too came to God lame from our mother's womb. Lame. What's it mean to be lame? This man pictures not only a man lame in his steps to the temple, but in the much larger sense, this man is lame in his walk, unable to step into heaven.
Amen.
All of us are lame this way.
Yes, sir.
If it wasn't for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no way we could go into heaven. There's no way we'd be accepted. There's no way a holy place like that could accept an unholy man like me. Let me ask you this. Who have you met this past week? Lame in their walk to heaven. Lame. Now understand, we're lame, but we were given strength. We are no longer lame by the grace of Jesus Christ. But who have we met this week? Lame in their walk, and what lame man have you told how he could walk again someday? We may not be able to, and God may not give you that ability to lift up your hand and lift up somebody who was lame physically and give them physical strength. God may not perform that miracle through you or I, but there's a greater miracle that God does want to perform through you and I. And that is when we give them the grace that was given to us.
That's good.
To give that spiritual life, to be able to walk again in heaven someday. What blind man did you give hope to recently? He may not be able to see anything. And when you left him, he still may not be able to see anything physically. But you can give a blind man hope that one day he'll see again. I guarantee every day of his life he's thinking about it. He cannot see. But will there ever come a day when he can open his eyes and see? You think about it. You can give that man that hope.
Yes, sir.
I encourage you to do that. Look for them. What mentally slow person did you lead to knowledge and wisdom? They're everywhere. We have the privilege of having one in our church. And he's a dear young man. He's the same age as my son. And I often think about it. What if God had given me the opportunity to have an educable, slow son or daughter? They told us that we might. They told us that one of our children, when my wife was expecting, they said, we'd like for you to have a test done. And this particular test, they weren't going to tell us what it was about. And as we went in for the test, my wife asked the question, what exactly are you running this test for? And it was an amniocentesis test. And they said, well, because of certain factors that we believe that your daughter will be born with Down syndrome. And so we asked the question, well, what's the purpose of the test? To see if she has it? No, it's to give you options, they said. I said, well, what options are you talking about? And they said, well, you can opt to terminate the pregnancy. What are you talking about? Killing my child?
Yeah.
If we have a child with Down syndrome, we're going to love that child. And God's going to give us the grace to handle that child. And that will be a great gift of God that He would entrust in us the extra love that's required to handle such a child.
Amen.
And by God's grace, Jacqueline's right here this morning in front of us. She's perfect. Other than having to put up with a sister that she has there on the other side of my life. But I'll tell you what mentally slow person did you lead to knowledge and wisdom? One day, that young man will have perfect knowledge and wisdom in heaven. And God will allow him to grow. And God will remove the handicap from his mind. What lame man from his mother's womb have you given eternal life? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Every day we have an opportunity. And every person that passes us by, we have a gift from God. He has entrusted in us the chance to see them and to talk to them. And God entrusts us to walk by their path and give a chance to lead them to Christ. Next, number two, let's have enough sense as to where to get help in life. You can say what you want about this man. He came to the temple. Well, we know why he came. Well, why did you come to the temple sometimes? You know, did you come today? Have you come every day, I should say, just to honor us with your presence? Did you come needy sometimes?
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, I'm the preacher, and I come to church very needy sometimes.
Yes, sir.
I need to hear what God has to say. I listen to my own sermons. I like to hear good preaching. Some of you shaking your head, you're hurting my feelings. But I listen to my own preaching because I need the preaching. And God brought that to my church. And I know God brought that to my church. And I want that. And I'm joyed to hear that God speaks to me too. But I'll tell you, let's have enough sense as to where to get help. This man had to be carried. But you understand, he could have been carried wherever he asked to be carried. He asked to be carried to church. He asked to be carried to the temple. Say what you want. What if somebody judged you as to why you came every time? If you came for the right reasons, have you always? Understand, church is not a trophy case. Church is not a drama display. Church is not a theatrical performance or an observance. Church is a spiritual hospital.
Yes, sir.
Where we all need to hear from the doctor.
Yes, sir.
The doctor of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
He's able to diagnose us perfectly.
Amen.
He listens to us and he hears us tell us what we're feeling and what we're going through. And he's able to know exactly. He knows. And, you know, the scripture says that he knows what we're to pray for even when we don't know and we pray wrongly. It is a spiritual hospital. This is a specialty clinic. Specialists at work. It's a boot camp. It's a training center. It's a place where the rich and poor are just as wealthy and just as poor as one another. How many are glad about that?
Amen.
It's a place where the affluent and the unknown are equal in importance and treatment.
Amen.
It's a place that knows no ages.
That's right.
Just souls who must receive Jesus Christ as little children receive Christ.
Amen.
By faith in Him for salvation. Number three, let's ask for the right help.
Amen.
This man, he was never rebuked by Peter and John for asking for money. Aren't you glad as we go to the Lord that He doesn't rebuke us? He just gives us what we need.
Praise God.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Amen.
All He asks us to do is submit to His will. Lord, not my will, but Thine be done. And we have opened and we have unshackled God.
Thank you, Lord.
That He can do what He's able to do, what we truly need. People do not know what they really need in life. But I know people need the Lord.
Amen.
I love that song. You sing that song? People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will they realize He's an open door? Romans 8:26 reminds us that we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. So here's men that brought this man to the temple every day for the wrong thing. You ever think about that? He had never received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, but he was brought to the temple every day. Think about it for a second. Was it wrong of them? No, I don't think so. They were helping him to gather what money he could to live. Oftentimes, people come to the church. They're looking for money. They know there's a place where someone will help. They're looking for someone that will look through them with eyes that care about them. That's how we all are. I wonder how many a man has carried another person to church but missed the real need. Now listen carefully to me. I'm not trying to be mean, but how many husbands have driven a wife to services? But sir, the most important thing your wife needs is that you would draw her closer to the Lord. How many a wife urged her husband to attend church with her, but never showed him how godliness is the goal, knowing the Lord and saving faith and loving him with life's words and works. We oftentimes bring folks to church and maybe we don't see the biggest need that they have. And we don't meet that need for them. So I say ask for the right help. How many a parent brought a child to the temple only to leave everything about the temple at the temple, and thus not getting the whole purpose of the temple? We were up working on our property the other day, and we were listening to some music and some preaching, and it's so helpful to have something like that while I'm working often. And Bridget was up there with me, who's here today, and she said, if she voiced something before we came here today, she didn't. But if she'd have thought about it, she said, Dad, whatever you do, don't talk about me. It comes with being 16, you know. I don't know why. She works so hard to be presentable when someone looks at her, but she don't want anybody to look at her. Anyway, she's a beautiful girl. Anybody could look at her. I looked at her while I was working, and the preacher that was preaching at the time made a statement. I don't know. This is in my notes. I didn't plan to say this. But the preacher said something about having the rain fall in your life. Speaking of the blessing of God. And I looked over at Bridget and I said, Bridget, have you ever had the rain fall? And she looked at me, what do you mean, Daddy? And I said, if there's anything I want for you, sweetheart, I want to see the rain fall in your life. I've seen the rain fall. I want you to see it. So many times we bring our children to church. We leave church at church. We never bring our children to the Lord. Let's come for the right reasons. Find the right things at church. Men, lead your family to church, but more specifically, lead your family to Jesus Christ. You've got to have him yourself if you're going to spread him around. Yes. Let's lead saved people to Jesus. I want to speak to you and talk to you, and I want you to be closer to Christ because we had the chance to talk. Number four, let the man of God lift you up. I remind you what I've said so far today, and we're about done. We're lame from our mother's womb. Amen?
Yes, sir.
We are. Let's have enough sense as to where to get help in life.
Amen.
Let's ask for the right help, and let's let the man of God lift you up. Listen, it isn't by the power of the man of God. Let me tell you that.
Yes,
we come to you having no power of ourselves to do anything. But we stand in a holy place. As ambassadors for the God of heaven.
Amen.
And your preacher stands behind this holy desk. And he's no longer just a man. He's a man of God.
Amen.
And he's able to lift you up.
Amen.
Oh, don't look to him personally. But let him, as he speaks, be that vessel of God that transfers the Holy Spirit through him to you.
Amen.
Majority of men leave out the man of God. They hear, but then they work in the flesh. And they frustrate themselves as how to accomplish what the preacher said. They've only heard a man of God and they've only heard a man of flesh as they speak. And they listen as men of flesh and they want to, by their flesh, accomplish that which cannot be accomplished through the flesh. Listen, if you realize that that man of God is not speaking in the flesh, he's speaking in the Spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit wants to speak to your spirit.
Yes.
And as he speaks to your spirit, there's something that can be done through two men just led of the Spirit of God, a preacher and a hearer. They hear a truth, they don't obey it as it's preached. We are a church sometimes full of Frank Sinatras. I mean, you know what I mean. We do it our way. Too many Franks. Why don't you give your heart to the preacher? Just go ahead and give it to him. Can I tell you, you don't want to do that right away. You want to know if he's trustworthy. He's been at this a long time. You could trust him with your heart. He's not a fly by night. He's not here for a little while. He's not here to get something out of you. He's here to give you something. Just trust me as his friend. I've been his friend almost 19 years. And he's a good friend. You could trust him. You can give him your heart. Some of you have known him much longer than I. Give your heart to somebody and let them lift you up. So many of us are too proud to admit a need. Shame on us for that. We don't want to say to the preacher that we have this trouble or this issue because then he'll think less of us. No, he will not. He'll only think higher of you for not thinking what he already knows. You're just humans. You're just flesh. And you just give that to him. Did you suppose that we thought you were perfect when you came in? I mean, has anybody ever looked at Brother Shannonberger and said, "Oh, there's a perfect man"? No way. You're lying, Mrs. Shannonberger. And if you thought that, you know better by now. But seriously, none of us ever thought you were perfect when you came in. We won't think you're perfect when you leave. But you're not speaking to perfect people either.
You're right.
Yep. If you're looking for the perfect church, you might as well go on down the road because it's not here.
That's right.
And if you come in as perfect people, you're out of place here as every place because we're just imperfect people.
You're
right. Amen. But let me tell you, we have a perfect Savior.
Amen.
We have a perfect God that never fails us.
That's right.
He'll never leave us, no, never forsake us. That's all right. You can come in here as imperfect people and serve a perfect God.
Amen.
You suppose that the seer is blind to needs? A preacher is often called the seer in the Bible. He's able to see things. Now, here's the funny thing. I see things I don't even know I see. So how do you know that? Because people tell me that I saw it, and I didn't even see it when they said I saw it. It's an amazing thing. They think I'm there in the dark watching them put on their lipstick because I'm not there, but somehow I'll preach something that they were thinking about when they were at home. The seer is not blind because the seer doesn't operate in his own sight.
Amen.
The seer operates in the sight God gives him when he prepares a message with him.
Amen.
And there's nothing like that sight. Let the man of God lift you up. Give your right hand. That's a picture of defenseless. Your guard is down and you're meek. Meekness isn't weakness. Meekness is an evenness. Grandma Hiles told Brother Hiles when he was just a little boy, "No man's any better man than you are. No man's any lesser man than you are. All men are equal in the sight of God." That's meekness. Moses was the meekest man in all the earth, the scripture says. He didn't look at anybody as they were above him, and he never looked down on anybody. We're just sinners in the sight of a holy God.
Yes, sir.
And give the man of God your right hand, your guard down, and your meekness. And lastly, receive strength by the burden. And quit waiting for strength to walk. This man, as Peter lifted out his hand, this man gave him his hand, and immediately as he stood, received the strength. He didn't get the strength while he was sitting. He received the strength when he was willing to stand up. Grace Baptist Church needs some folks that are just willing to stand up.
That's good.
By faith. And you'll get strength not with the burden, but by the burden. are not for the burden. You're not going to, God's not going to give you all the confidence and all the strength that you need. He's going to give it to you as you bear that burden on.
That's good.
As you stand up.
Yes.
And what trial is going on in your life right now? Go ahead and stand up in that trial. Faith stands in the burden. If you have a trial somehow in your marriage today, and let me tell you, if you're married, you have a trial in your marriage. Quit denying it, lying to each other, and looking at, or thinking it's the one next to you. It's always a trial. Trust me, fellas, your wife has a trial, a burden, every day. And it's not the one she's looking at in the mirror as much as the one behind her. Amen. Woe is me. What trial is going on in your life right now? Is it a financial burden? Just do the right thing. It's always right to do right. Every time you do right, you'll be glad you did right. And every time you don't do right, you'll be sorry that you didn't do the right thing. It's never right to do wrong. It's never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. It's never right to do wrong. It's always right to do right.
That's right.
Stand up and do the right thing, whatever the issue may be. And when you stand, God will give you the strength for that burden.
Yes.
That's how it is. That's how it was here. Is this man any different than we? No. God is no respecter of persons. The wonderful thing about people in the Bible is God doesn't look at them any more special than he looks at you and I. And we have the same strength available to us. All we got to do is stand up. If the man of God, he's not here today. He sent me here in his place. I said, preacher, is there anything you want me to preach about? Is there any theme that you'd like for me to talk of? He sent me a very humbling text back. He said, I trust you totally. I brought that to the Lord and to the Holy Spirit. I told my wife, I said, you know, anytime I've ever spoken away from our church, it's within minutes I know what I'm going to speak about. Maybe a day at the most. But I was not nervous, because I love you folks, and I feel very at home here.
Amen.
But as I thought about what I was going to say, what should I talk about? What should I preach about? And that he didn't help me at all, Mrs. Buss. I trust you. He knows this church more than I do. But if he trusts me, then he's prayed and he's put me in the Holy Spirit's hands. And all I did is ask the same thing. Oh, Holy Spirit, you take over. Give me what you have. And as I said to my wife this morning, she said, did you ever get it? And I said, well, it's the first one that the Lord gave me. That's the one I'm preaching today.
Amen.
And I trust that since that's true, that God has given us this morning something for you from not your preacher, but the one your preacher sent to you. And I want that confidence to be there, not in me. But stand. You have a trial going on in your life right now in regards to your children? I'll say it again. If you have children, you have a trial.
Yes.
There's a test going on. There will be a test. There will be quizzes. It'll be pop-up. It'll be surprise. You will not be prepared. Just wait till they're a teenager. Amen. Glory to God. Don't look at me, she says. Now here, listen carefully. Let me give you some help. Quit sitting there and asking for strength to handle it. Just leap up on your feet and stand. He leaping up stood and he walked. Now take a leap in faith. Take a stand in faith and walk in faith. Where did he walk? Where did this man walk when he was given strength? When he took the man of God's hand and he lifted him up and immediately he got strength, where did he walk? He walked into the temple. That's right. That's the place to go. Here's where you'll get your help. Here's where the Holy Spirit's able to talk to you if you're ready. Come waiting. How many of you have sat out in the parking lot before you came in and said, I'm hungry. Lord, would you please feed me today? Lord, would you please give the preacher the answer to the question I've had all week? It'll change. You know what we do? We're arguing. Well, you're the reason we're late today. my hair combed? No, it never is. Why would you worry about it now? You know, that's what she said to me. I'm just kidding. Where did he walk? His Bible says, and he entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. That's how we ought to come in. You say, preacher, you don't really expect us to be that way. This man had a reason. He was lame from his mother's womb. Oh, really? And you weren't? You say, well, preacher, this man got a miracle from God.
Yep.
And you didn't?
Yes, sir.
If you haven't, this altar is available in just a moment. And you need that. And then you can look at life in a different perspective as this man did.
Amen.
Healed from being lame.
Yes, sir.
If there's ever a well duh moment in the message, here it is. That's D-U-M-B blonde. That's dumb. If you don't realize that you were healed from your mother's womb, there's a reason you ought to enter in the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Let the people see you. Love is action. Love isn't something you just sit and feel in your heart. Love is something you express. This man let the people in the temple see him. So it wasn't a show. That's not what this is about. But let people, has anybody ever seen you get saved? Has anybody ever seen you get baptized since you've been saved? There's a reason for these things. Public profession doesn't save anybody. Salvation is very personal, it's of the heart. But when is the last time we let somebody see what's in there?
That's good.
God wants us to let someone see that we've been healed. Let somebody see. If you've not been baptized, you can get baptized today. Love is action. Care is an action word. Faith is action. All the people, the scripture says, saw him walking and praising God. Who has seen you walk and praise God? Who has seen you get saved? Who has seen you make a public profession? Who has seen you get baptized? Who has seen you witness? Has anyone seen you witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? I trust they have. Who has seen you walk an aisle in an invitation? Psalm 18:31 says, for who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Grace Baptist Church, such as I have, give I thee. This is just a story out of the Bible. Such a simple message. Nothing profound to it. But it's just as real as the day that it was put in this book.
Yes.
It's real as the day that God penned it up in heaven. It's available to us today.
Amen.
What step do you need? Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message today. Lord, forgive the messenger if I failed in any way to touch and to meet hearts and needs. But Lord, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would do that anyway. We'd come not in our own strength or power, but in thine. Please speak to hearts. Lord, I may have not said anything about a need that a particular person has. Lord, I know of no greater need than salvation. If there's any of these needs, may they come to the right place for the right help. Give them strength as they stand in faith and take that step immediately. Embolden them to continue that step and walk. We're trusting in the words of God for our source and strength. You promised these words would never come back void. With heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around, may I ask today as the preacher, and I'm just a guest, I will not remember, and I won't embarrass anybody. Is there anybody here in the room today that does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Say, preacher, I'm going to raise my hand and ask you to just pray for me. Would you please pray for me? I do not know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I see that hand. You may lower it. Anybody else? Any others? Anybody? Any other hand? All right, you're by not raising your hand, you're either already saved or you need to get saved. But if you're saved already, say, preacher, there's something going on right now. Today I've come to the right place. But I need to stand by faith in this area and trust that the Lord will give me strength as I walk the right way. Would you pray for me, the message that was for me? Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. All across the room, wonderful, I see your hands. God sees your hands much more important than I do. Let's pray about that. We'll open the invitation. Heavenly Father, you see the hands and the hearts. You see this one that needs to be saved. Lord, I pray you give her courage to step forward. Lord, let us take a Bible and show her how to be saved. If there's anyone else, the same. And Lord, these that have come and raised these hands, you've seen their hearts. And Lord, may you give strength just by that hand of faith. And may it continue as they take steps that they might, in days, hopefully, very soon in time, come walking back in the temple, leaping and praising God. Make it so in Jesus' name. Amen.